1 John 3:16. We know love by this, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brothers and sisters. How does God's love abide in anyone who has the world's good and sees a brother or sister in need and yet refuses help? Little children, let us love not in word or speech, but in deed and truth. And by this we know that we are from the truth and will reassure our hearts before him whenever our hearts condemn us. For God is greater than our hearts, and he knows everything. Beloved, if our hearts do not condemn us, we have boldness before God and receive him from whatever we ask. We obey his commandments and do what pleases him. And this is his commandment that we should believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another just as he commanded us. All who obey his commandments abide in him, and he abides in them. And by this we know that he abides in us by the Spirit that he has given us. Amen.
Thank you, Johnny. Last time we were all together, we asked the question, what is church? We discussed that there are many different answers to that question, and that part of our task over these next several months will be to answer that question for ourselves. We began to sketch out an answer to the question by reflecting on the very early church and what was important to them. This morning, I'm going to propose a different approach. To answer the question, what is the church, I would like us to explore the question, what is Christianity itself? And right for the start of our deliberations, I'm going to suggest for us an answer. That at the very heart of Christianity is one idea, one powerful, life-changing, world-changing idea. At the center of everything that Christianity is supposed to be, I would suggest there's one single word, love. Love, I am suggesting, is the beating heart of Christianity. Upon it, everything else rests. Is it possibly that simple? Yeah, I think it is. I think it is that simple. Now, let me be clear. It's simple, but it's sure not easy. In fact, the love that is at the heart of Christianity may just be the most demanding idea in the history of the world. We need to be clear about a few things when we talk about the love that is at the heart of Christianity. The love at the heart of Christianity is not, primarily, a feeling. You know, that feeling of being in love that we sing about in our pop songs, we write poems and novels and movies about, that's not the kind of love I'm talking about. Don't get me wrong, falling in love is real and it's important. That rush of romance and infatuation and attraction, all of that is magic. And when it is mutual, it can be the most beautiful thing in the world. And I hope that everyone gets to experience some form of that in their life. But it's not what we're talking about here. And you know, we're not even talking about the love we have for, say, our best friends or our children or our siblings. Though these are all important feelings and experiences, and again, I hope that we all get to enjoy some of them throughout our lives. And I don't even think that I mean the love that many of us have for this church, though that's getting closer to what I'm after. I don't mean the love that we feel for this institution or this building or even these people, though, again, that's getting even closer. But no, the love that is at the heart of Christianity is not something that we feel. It is not something that comes out of our desires, and it is not something that meets our needs. The love at the heart of Christianity is fundamentally not about us. So if the love that is at the heart of Christianity is none of these things that we probably typically mean when we say the word love, then what am I even talking about? Am I still talking about love at all? Or am I totally just redefining the word? Well, maybe I am redefining the word. In fact, maybe that's the whole point. Maybe the heart of Christianity, The center of this whole project is redefining what love even is. If the love at the heart of Christianity is not any of these things we think of when we hear the word love, then what is it? I think there are three characteristics. This is the most sermony sermon you're going to hear from me. There are three characteristics. I almost got them to be alliteration, but then I failed. The love at the heart of Christianity is a choice, it is actions, and it is universal. The love at the heart of Christianity is a choice. It's not something we feel, it is something we choose. I want to see if I can explain the difference using my own self. You see, the love that I have for Ethan is not something that I choose. It is something that I feel. The love that I have for Ethan is so core to my very being that I cannot imagine it going away. I could no sooner choose to not love Ethan than I could choose not to breathe, than I could choose not to fall if I jump. I think you know what I mean. That my love for Ethan is so much a part of who I am that I can't imagine who I would even be without it. But I'm going to tell you a bit of a secret. The love that I have for the churches that I serve is not a love that I feel in that same way. The love that I have for all of you and for the churches that I serve is a love that I choose. It is an odd thing about being a professional pastor, that part of our job description is to choose to love the people in the churches where I am called. Which means, and this will sound harsh, but please know that I don't mean it to be harsh, but it means that when someone leaves the church or when I take a different church call, I no longer love those members of the church in the same way. It doesn't mean I dislike them or don't care about them or don't want to know what's going on in their lives. But in order to choose to love the people who I am continuing serving, I can't also choose to love everyone I've ever served in the past. I hope that makes sense and doesn't come off as too cold. What I'm trying to say is that the love that lies at the heart of Christianity is more like that love that I choose to have for the people and the churches that I serve than it is for the like the love that I can't help but have for Ethan. The love at the heart of Christianity is something that we choose. Second, the love at the heart of Christianity is not a love that we feel, it is a love that we do. The love at the heart of Christianity is a love of action. I can't help but love Ethan. I can't help but love Tara. I can't help but love my parents and my sister, at least most of the time. And because I can't help but love these people, that affects how I act towards them. It is absurd to say that I love Ethan if I am then cruel to them. It is absurd to say that I love my mom if I am not there for her in her time of grief. You would see right through me if I said I love Tara, but then I cheated on her or treated her with disrespect. Now, I know love is complicated and people do dumb stuff to the ones that they love all the time. In fact, that's part of the difference between love as a feeling and love as an action. Love as a feeling can make us do dumb stuff. Love as an action, love as something we do, means that our actions have to match the word. Love in action is relatively straightforward. When someone is hurting, we comfort them. When someone is celebrating, love cheers with them. When someone falls down, love helps pick them up. Love in action is generous. Love in action is sacrificial, not to the point of abuse. Love in action is patient. It is kind. It's not envious or boastful or rude. This might be starting to sound familiar. Love in action is forgiving. It rejoices, believes, hopes, endures. It never fails. The love at the heart of Christianity is a love we choose. It is a love of action. So that everything we feel and want for those in our life that we cherish, those that we claim as beloved, the love at the heart of Christianity chooses to act towards those people we claim to love. Let me say that again in a different way. The love at the heart of Christianity is a love that chooses to act for the good of those we claim to love. All right, here's where this gets tricky. Because the third characteristic of the love that is at the heart of Christianity is that the love at the heart of Christianity is universal. And that's the rub. Who does Jesus tell us to love? Our neighbor. Well, sure, but who is our neighbor? Well, according to Jesus, our neighbor is the stranger on the side of the road who we've never met, who is beat up by bandits. Who else does Jesus tell us to love? Well, the leper, the sick, the demon-possessed, the schizophrenic, the sinner, the evil. Jesus tells us to love the tax collector. We need to be clear about who the tax collector is. When Jesus tells us to love the tax collector, that means Jesus is telling us to love our economic and political rivals. Jesus is telling us to love the Republicans on the Wisconsin Supreme Court who are trying to make it harder for us to vote. Jesus is telling me to love the legislators that have voted to take away the rights of my own kid and other trans youth like them. Yes, Jesus wants me to love them. That doesn't mean I agree with them. That doesn't mean that I have to vote for them. And it doesn't mean that I won't call them out when they are being undemocratic, disingenuous, and just plain cruel. But it does mean that I treat them as human beings worthy of love and respect, even if I don't really want to. It means I choose to act in a way that is consistent with what we mean when we say love. I don't have to feel it. You see, that's the difference. I can feel all kinds of way towards a certain candidate for the presidency or any other office, but I still have to choose to act towards them in a way that is consistent with love, no matter how I feel. Jesus very explicitly tells us to choose to love our enemies. Choose to love in action our personal enemies, whoever they may be. And the problem is, that's not even the hardest part. Because the love at the heart of Christianity not only wants me to love the enemy that I know, the love at the heart of Christianity asks me to choose to love in action the stranger I don't even know and have not even met. That means loving the immigrant on the border and the Palestinian in Gaza and the refugee in Turkey. It means choosing to love in action the homeless man down the street, the evicted family in Milwaukee, and the neglected child struggling in school. And oh boy, things get even harder. The love at the heart of Christianity is a love for all of creation. That means we are to choose to love in action the very earth itself, which of course affects everything we eat, where we live, how we drive. Sorry folks, but we all need to be driving electric cars or taking high-speed rail or riding our bikes or doing anything we can to be burning less fossil fuels. At the heart of Christianity is love. It's as simple as that. But it isn't just any love. It is a love we choose, it is a love of action, and it is a universal love of all of creation. It is a single, simple command, and it is the hardest command of any religion or any philosophy that the world has ever seen. And in the 2,000-year history of Christianity, we have only ever scratched the surface of what it demands of us. I don't know where the church is headed. I don't know where our church is headed. I don't know where the universal church is headed, but I pray that whatever the next manifestation of the church is, that we learn even better, much better, how to love, how to choose to act in love towards all of creation, because it is nothing short of the best hope of the world. Amen.